are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
This is really what I would look at as probably the first Sunday back when we start kids, when we start virtually everything in church. And of course, many churches would have a Vision Sunday. They would talk about all the things that they believe that God is going to do. I don't do that. I don't like doing that because I think God is doing things all the time. However, I do want to tell you what I believe that God has put on our heart to minister this year. As in a way of a theme, as in a way of a focus, as in the way of just sensing God move. And the theme or the title that God has given to me, we will be talking on, I'll put it up. Thanks, Dave. Can you throw that one? That's it. Is Jesus Is. Now, you can add anything you want to the end of that. You know, I rang up Graham Fletcher, who's coming over in Easter again, and I said, hey, this is our theme for this year. Jesus Is. I'd like you to talk about something that has Jesus Is. And he said, oh, that's easy. Jesus Is the resurrection. What a good thought. And so I believe that we should have an anticipation. I believe that we should have an excitement, a real sense of purpose that Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything to us this year. And again, as we talk our way through that theme, as we open up, and we'll be listening to obviously lots of different people talk, and they will bring their own flavor, they'll bring their own thoughts, they'll bring their own way of expressing Jesus Is. I hope at home groups, I hope in youth, I hope in kids, I hope in men's that we will talk Jesus Is. And I hope that we will just grow in knowing that Jesus is everything. Jesus is my all. Jesus is the lover of my soul. Jesus is everything. And so this morning, I want to talk about Jesus is the answer. Easy? You would think that would be the truth? But Jesus is always the answer. Now, you might think, well, Graham, when I think about that and I think about the people we're praying for, I think about the people that are sick, I think about people that have ailments or issues or situations and we don't see any change, don't you think that you're just trying to pump us up? But then you think of Sam. 5 years, Sam has been waiting for his wife to be able to come to Australia. Sam is a Christian. Sam loves Jesus. Sam seriously loves Jesus. Sam and I have talked many times. We have worked together many times on documents, as has other people. Sam never lost confidence that Jesus is the answer. I think of Pastor Oxy. We know that he's blind. We know that he's deaf. I know that he believes God for his healing. I know that he prays for that constantly. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is the answer and that he's not seeing it. In fact, one of the things I love about Pastor Oxy is that in the midst of his situation and circumstance, he says, hey, the Bible says that all things work together for good. So whilst I'm moving through this, what is the good that God wants me to receive? My buddy Bill, and I admit it, my best friend Bill, we know he's got Parkinson's disease. We know that's affecting his body. It doesn't stop him from having confidence and faith that Jesus is the answer, even though he might not be seeing that outworked in his life at this present stage. It might not be outworked, the healing. But that doesn't change the fact that Jesus is. And it doesn't change the fact that we shouldn't be confident in knowing that Jesus is the answer. He was the answer before our problems. He is the answer during our problems. And he will still be the answer after our problems, as we face other issues and other things. Because again, as you walk through the Bible, you will see many who have gone through testings and trials, situations and circumstances, as many of us do go through. The Bible says that he doesn't change. It says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the answer back there. He's the answer now because he doesn't change. We can be secure in trusting him for he will do everything the word says he will do. In Romans 10, in Joel 2, in Acts 2, we read this scripture: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Message says it this way: everyone who calls out help, God gets help. I like that. I like what Peterson says there. Everyone that calls out help, God gets help. And again, I can hear some negatives in the back of my brain. Well, that's okay for you. Well, that's not my experience. Yeah, but don't give up. Don't give up, because the Bible is true. Unfortunately, most of us think that this passage in Romans or in Joel or in Acts only talks about salvation. Well, that's true. It does talk about salvation. It says saved. But that's only a part of it. There is a greater meaning. You see, you can break down this word save to also mean heal, to also mean preserve, to rescue, to deliver, to protect. When you call on Jesus, he will be your Savior. The Bible says that. And of course, with that salvation comes the promise of eternal life. John 3:16 tells us that. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But that's not all we get, because John 10:10 amplifies that a little bit more. It doesn't just mean eternal life as in the future, as in eternity. It means abundant life now. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance. You might not have life in abundance right now. And if you don't, then that's not Jesus' desire for you. It's not what Jesus did for you. It's the enemy, it's the thief that is stealing from you at this present stage. That's what the Bible tells us. And so if you're not seeing breakthrough, if you have cried out, if you have called out and you're not seeing breakthrough, then it's not God that hasn't given the breakthrough. He's already done that at the cross. It's a finished work. He said, it is finished. It's Satan that is robbing you, stealing from you, deceiving you into believing that God's word doesn't work for you. You see, it doesn't matter how far you think you are from God. It doesn't matter what we've done, what we're feeling. It doesn't matter when we need help. We are told to call upon Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. I can guarantee you that when you start to constantly, persistently cry out to God, things change. The Bible tells us to seek and keep on seeking, to knock and keep on knocking, to ask and keep on asking, to be persistent, to nag God. God doesn't mind us nagging him. In fact, please excuse me if this sounds irreverent, but sometimes when I'm praying, I remind God of his word. God, your word says this. Because it is his word. And he is faithful and true and just to his word. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you in due season. There's a whole lot of little steps in that humbling yourself. Cleanse your heart, etc., etc., etc. Peterson puts it this way in the Message Bible. He says, so let God work his will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner self. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious. Get really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way that you're going to get back up on your feet. There's a whole lot of things that we've got to do. And sometimes when we cry out to God, we're not listening to the things that God has told us to do. You see, sometimes you have sin in your life that you're still doing and that you know you're still doing. You need to finish that. Sometimes you might have bitterness, you might have resentment, you might have unforgiveness. In fact, sometimes we give the enemy a legal hold to stop the work of God in our lives. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Seek God's face. Draw near to Him and He will talk to you. He will show you what you need to do. When we cry out, when we call out to Jesus for help, it has the potential to change everything. Every situation, every circumstance. I'd like a dollar for every time it's been said over the years to me, but Graham, you don't understand. You've never been through what I've been through. Yeah, it might be, but you've never been through what I've been through. You don't understand, Graham. Look, Graham, I have done a really stupid thing. I've got myself into a situation. I'm ashamed. I feel guilty. So much so that I don't even think I can come to church anymore because everybody knows what I've done. Well, not really. I'm sure about that. I can't even face people in church anymore. I look at people when I go to Churnside and I want to run from them because they know how evil I am. Graham, I got myself into this mess, and so I can't ask God. I have to get myself out of it. It's my fault that I'm in that. Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Stinking thinking, stinking thinking, stinking thinking. That's not what the Bible says. John 10:10a, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. Of course you might have done something wrong. Stupid maybe. But it's the enemy who's making you feel guilty. It's the enemy who's making you feel condemned. It's the enemy that's causing you to feel shamed. But the Bible says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. When we think of what God has done for us and realize that He paid for us while we were yet sinners. He bought me knowing who I am and what I've done. He sealed me with His seal. He gave me His name. He intercedes for me before His Father in heaven because He loves me. He wants me to cry out to Him. He wants me to call out on His name. He took care of every situation, every circumstance 2,000 years ago. And again I say, when He said, it's finished, it's finished. It's just time now to walk in the victory that He has won for us. You know, the promised land, the story of the promised land. Be strong, be courageous. Every place that you put the sole of your feet, I will give you. Sure, there's giants in the land. We don't say there's no giants in the land. We don't say we're not going to get sick. We don't say that bad things aren't going to happen. We're not one of those churches that say that you're in your situation because you have no faith. We know there's giants, but we have the victory. All we've got to do is walk the walk and walk in the victory that God has given to us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls out, help God, gets help. Everyone who cries out on the name of the Lord will be healed somehow, somewhere. God will preserve us. God will rescue us. God will deliver us. God will protect us. Let's go back to that word heal for a minute, because I know we're praying for people who are sick, people who have terminal conditions. The Bible says that we have eternal life. We don't die. We have eternal life. Our life might end here, but it's not just changed. It has eternity to it. I believe that we are healed in heaven. Whether we're healed on earth or healed in heaven, we get a new body. It doesn't stop us from praying for healing. It doesn't stop us from believing that sick are going to get well. But if they don't, God is still God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God can save us, but if He doesn't, He's still God. I don't allow doubt to rob me from praying for people who are sick. And I keep believing and believing and believing. For Petula, I'm believing still for a miracle, without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what the doctors say. However, if it doesn't come to pass the way we pray and the way we hope, God is still God. And I know that Petula knows that. And I know her family knows that. Because the peace of God is rich and is real. We got to be real in this situation. Jesus' name is the answer to all our problems. John 14:13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is the Lord's prayer. God, I want your will. I ask for your will to be outworked in our circumstances and situations, that your name may be glorified. Jesus' name is the answer to all of our problems. His name opens up everything we need. All we have to do is call on him. Even when we're facing the worst possible stances, Jesus is the answer. Paul and Silas in the Bible give us a fantastic little example of what it's like to face circumstances and situations that are negative. In Acts 16, we read that they were in jail. They were ministering in a district of Macedonia because Paul had a vision of a man calling out for help. In Acts 16:9, it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Paul and Silas," the Bible tells us, "obeyed the call. They were exactly where God wanted them to be. But as is often the case when we obey God, others get upset. There were a lot of people unhappy about what Paul and Silas were doing. They found themselves beaten with rods and thrown into prison. In Acts 16:22, we read, "The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they were afflicted and many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely." You see, jail back there wasn't like our jails. They didn't have comfy beds. They didn't have nice meals. They didn't have TV or internet. They didn't have all the rights that the prisoners in our country have. Paul and Silas's jail was a rat-infested, dark and dingy dungeon. Chained to the wall they were, bleeding, bruised, and in pain from their beating. And to make things worse, there was every chance that the next day they were going to be killed. So without overstating the situation, it looked grim for Paul and Silas. But when most people would have been griping and complaining, Acts 16:25 says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Paul and Silas weren't focused on their situation or their circumstance. They were praying and they were singing praises to their God. They knew that Jesus was their answer. And if they called on the name of Jesus, they'd be saved, they'd be rescued, they'd be delivered, they'd be protected. And of course, the Bible tells us they were. Suddenly, 5 years later, Sam, suddenly a letter comes in the mail. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. You notice it just wasn't Paul and Silas that were saved. It was everyone around them that was saved as well. You see, when we cry out to God and see our circumstances changed, it impacts the people around us because they know what it's like. Maybe you're not physically beaten like Paul and Silas. Perhaps you are mentally beaten. Perhaps you are emotionally beaten. Perhaps you are just tired and worn out from your circumstance and situation. Maybe you feel like there's no hope. Right in the middle of everything you're going through, when it looks like there is no answer, my Bible tells me that Jesus is the answer. Kenneth Hagin said, the number one reason that people don't get their needs met is that they don't know the truth of the Word of God. Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. You shall know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. Jesus is our answer. You see, the Word of God, the Logos of God, is the promises of God. And as God reveals, as God gives us a rhema of those promises, an understanding, a revelation of those promises, then Jesus becomes our answer. We start to walk Him, we start to trust Him, we start to live out the Word of God, even though our circumstances might not look like that. When you know that Jesus will provide all your needs and you've got those memorial stones and you've seen Him do it, then you don't have any doubt that He can do it. When you've prayed for a healing and you've seen God heal, you know and you trust and you have an incredible confidence in praying for the next person or yourself again. Think about your memorial stones. Think about the things that have happened in your life. Think about the times when you have seen God move in a mighty way, and start applying those to your present situations. They are our memorial stones. They are what Joshua would call the Gilgal, the things that we go back to remember what God has done in the past, so that we can know when God tells us something for the future, we can trust Him and rely on Him. Jesus didn't die on the cross to bring us this far and to leave us there. Jesus is the answer. He shed His blood so we can be saved. He took upon Himself, on His back, those stripes so that we would be healed. Isaiah 53, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds we are healed. With His wounds we are healed. You start reading Isaiah 53 and see what Jesus has done for us. You know, when Jesus went to the cross and He said to His Father, Father, if this cup can pass me by, let it happen. And then He says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? I often look at that and see that as rejection. I see that Jesus has taken our rejection. You go right through all the things that happened to Jesus through the cross. He goes right through all the things that happened through Jesus' ministry, the temptations, and you will see that there's not one thing that Jesus has not taken on our behalf. That's why He became man. So that He could say that He took everything that we would go through, yet without sin, of course. Again, I repeat this scripture because I love it so much, but because it's so true to me. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus came that we might enjoy life. That we might have eternal life, of course, but we might have abundant life right now on earth. Sometimes we go through tough times and it looks as though we're not going to make it. Sometimes we face mountains. Sometimes we live in the valley. Whatever you're facing today, large or small, massive or minor, it doesn't matter to Jesus. He's interested in your life. He loves you. He's there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't change. Remember, He has already provided the way out. Just call on Him. And know that as you cry out to Him, saved, rescued, healed, protected, delivered, whatever it might be. One of the critical keys to what I'm saying today is the word trust. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't let your situations and circumstances rule. Come back to the Word of God. Come back to what the Bible says. Because the Bible is true. In all your paths, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. In other words, when you're in the middle of a situation, quit trying to figure it out. Quit rationalizing it. And start leaning and trusting on God. You don't have to understand everything. I love that point that Billy Graham made in the DVD we store when he was being tested in regard to preaching the word. He came to the realization, I don't have to understand everything in the word of God. All I have to do is believe it, and I choose to believe it. You can put your faith in Jesus because he cannot and he will not let you down. One of my incredibly favorite scriptures, a scripture that I learned over and over and over again when I was in Bible college, when I was working and walking through my own deliverances. It says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you, that is, continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, the time of his return. I who have begun a good work in you will continue it till the day of Jesus Christ. You see, we live in now and we box ourselves into now. All we have to know is that God is outworking and working out what he won for us in our lives and will continue to do it till Jesus returns, whenever that is it. When I used to pray, read this scripture back in Bible college, I personalized it. I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in me will perfect and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Personalize the word of God. Make it your own. Start to confess it as your own scripture. Do you mean even when I mess up, God? Yep. God doesn't reject us when we mess up. Maybe there are things that we do that we don't please God in, but I don't see that as any different to my own kids, who were perfect, by the way. They did things sometimes that I would have preferred they didn't do. Now, that didn't please me, and they would have felt that on their backside. But that didn't mean I didn't love them any less because of what they did. God loves us. God loves us so much that he allowed his Son, his only begotten Son, to die on the cross that we might have life and life to the full. The worst thing that we can do is to make what Jesus did of null and void by not going to him, not crying out to him, not allowing him to be the answer to our situations and circumstances. So no matter where you are today, no matter where you find yourself, my challenge to you this morning as we start this series on Jesus is you realize that Jesus is the answer. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus is your answer. Jesus is my answer. Jesus is the answer to the world out there. And I can tell you now, that world is looking for answers. That world is crying out for answers. And we have the answer. Jesus is for us. He wants to save us. He wants to rescue us. He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to protect us. And he has already done it 2,000 years ago. Now we have to walk in it and accept it and allow God to do it. So this morning, Why don't you just bow your eyes for a minute for me? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I wonder this morning in this room, is there anybody here and you have never, ever, ever asked Jesus to be your Saviour? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You might not be a new creation yet. Old things might not have passed away yet. You might not know what it is to know that peace that comes from having Jesus in your life. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Saviour, if you've never allowed him to be Lord of your life, then this morning, all I want you to do is just raise your hand and say, that's the first step, I'd like to do that. That's the first step, I'd like to do that. Is there anyone in this room, you have never asked Jesus to be your Saviour or Lord, and you'd like to do that this morning? Just raise your hand quickly, let me see it. I won't embarrass you, won't call you out the front. All right, then let's assume that everybody in this place today is a Christian. So let's come to the second part. If you're in this room today and you've got things that are troubling you, big, small, emotional, physical, I don't know, whatever it might be, then I'd like to challenge you today to cry out to Jesus for the answer. To trust him, to lean on him, to rely on him. So if you've got situations, circumstances in your life and that you feel that you've been challenged this morning enough to raise your hand and say, God, I'm hearing you and I'm going to cry out to you. I'd like you to raise your hand this morning. This is not a credit to me. This is a credit to God. And I want to pray for you this morning. Circumstances, situations, things that you have allowed to box you in. There's somebody, I wrote it down in the back room. There's somebody here this morning or a number of you here this morning and you just believe that God is just too far away. You've come to him many, many times. Keep your hands raised. You've come to him many, many times and you've just given up because you haven't seen the result. I want you to believe this morning. Heavenly Father, you can see each of those that have got their hands raised. You know their circumstances. You know their situation. And God, with all respect, I am reminding you of your word, the word that you place on my heart to preach, the word that we read in Scripture that says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God, I'm praying right now that you would intervene, that you would overshadow each person that has got the faith to raise their hand, that is crying out to you, that is calling out to you. That Lord God, that you would start the process. That Father, that you would miraculously, immediately fix their situation and circumstances. And Lord, as your word says, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. So Satan, I say to you also, that you have no power, you have no authority. The Bible says that God has given us authority and power over you to trample on you. In no way can you harm us. And so we're reminding you that you were defeated at the cross of Calvary. And the deceit, the lies that you've been saying into these situations and circumstances is being exposed right now. And we say to you, Satan, that Jesus is the answer. And we trust in Jesus. So, Father, move by your power, move by your Spirit, overshadow each person right now, I pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.